It's so good to see all of you here again this morning or whenever you're watching this video. You know, there's so many problems that we are facing in our life. It's nothing new. People have always faced problems, obstacles, trials, and troubles in their life. The message that I feel God has led me to today is entitled, Overcoming Your Problems. And it's taken from a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Actually, I don't have enough time to read that entire chapter, but let me encourage you to read it yourself. And as a matter of fact, I would encourage you to go back to 2 Chronicles in your Old Testament, chapter 17, beginning chapter 17, verse 1, read all the way through to chapter 18, then read through to chapter 19, then through chapter 20. And you'd get the entire story of one of the most popular kings of Judah back in those days. His name was Jehoshaphat. Kind of an unusual name, but it may have been a common name in those days. But King Jehoshaphat. He was one of the better kings that Judah ever had. He made a few mistakes in his reign in office. He did some things that really were not wise and he should not have done in aligning himself with other countries and so forth. But overall, he was a godly man, and we recognize that he was a man of the Lord. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I want to begin reading with verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, some of the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to do battle. Now this kind of sets the scene for the problems that Jehoshaphat and all of the country of Judah was going to have. Here were three enemy armies coming down against them, and they didn't know what they were going to do. In verse 2 it says, then there came some who told Jehoshaphat, there's coming a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and they are all down to En-Gedi. Well, in verse 3, we find that Jehoshaphat began to fear. He didn't know what to do. And he set himself to seek the Lord, and then he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judea. So here Jehoshaphat, he loves the Lord, he fears the Lord, he reverences the Lord, and so he sets himself to seek the Lord in the midst of a horrible problem. Trials coming, maybe death and destruction, and he begins to seek the Lord. In verse 4 it says, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So here was the country of Judah, led by the king, Jehoshaphat, and they began to seek the Lord. Problems all around them. Reminds me of our situation here in our world today. We have this coronavirus. We have this terrible situation in our country and countries around the world. And people are praying. Leaders are praying. God, what shall we do? How shall we deal with this? They're seeking answers to serious questions. Well, the same thing was true with Jehoshaphat. And so he gathered the people together out of all the cities, and what a wise thing that was, and they all came to seek the Lord. In verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem. He stood in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he began to pray. And oh, this is what we need to do, whether you're a pastor of a church, the husband, leader, father of a family, a governor of a state, President of the United States, or whoever it may be, we need to pray. And that's what Jehoshaphat and the people did. It says in verse 6, here was the prayer that they prayed. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? Are you our God who did drive the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel? You gave this land to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever. And they dwelt in it. They have built a sanctuary in it for your name. And in that sanctuary they said, when evil comes upon us as a sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we're going to stand before this house, that is the temple of God, and in your presence, for your name is in this house, we will cry unto you in our time of affliction when you hear and help. And they continue the prayer. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned not from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which you have given us to inherit. Then they continue their prayer. O God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. In other words, they didn't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And I'm listening every day to the governors of the states and the leaders of our country in this crisis that we're facing. They don't know really what to do. They're making decisions. They hope they're the right decisions. Well, this is how Jehoshaphat and the Judeans were feeling. They says, our eyes upon you. We don't know what to do. In verse 13, it says, all of Judah stood before the Lord, their little ones, their wives, and their children. So here they were seeking guidance from the Lord. And that's what we need to do. And I hope that we are doing that. I feel that many of us are. We're trying to find answers from the Lord in our situation here in our world. In verse 14, there was a man named Jahaziel. He was the son of Zechariah. And he was a Levite of the sons of Asaph. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the midst of the congregation. So he stood up, Spirit-led, and said, listen, y'all, all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and even King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. And notice what he said, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Here that man, that prophet of God, inspired by the Lord, said, you remember this, do not be afraid, because the battle does not belong to you, the battle belongs to God. Then he went on to say, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they're going to come up by the cliff of Ziz. You shall find them at the end of the valley before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. That was an interesting thing for him to tell them. You shall not need to fight in this battle, but set yourselves, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord with you, Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. And then he said, you're going to go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. The Levites, so the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. They rose up early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and so you shall be established. Believe his preachers, believe his prophets, and so you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." When they began to sing and to praise, that's when a miracle happened, and the Lord set an ambush against the enemy, the children of Ammon, the children of Moab, the children of Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they got all mixed up and they began to kill one another, and it was the most awful confusion you have ever seen, but the Lord was delivering them, and so He did so. Down in verse 26, on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, the valley of blessing, for they were blessed of the Lord. And therefore, the name of that place is the Valley of Baraka unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat before them. They went to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with psalteries and with harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard what the Lord did against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. That's a kind of an involved scripture, and I do hope you'll go back and read chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20, and read that story and refresh it in your mind if you've never read it before, for the first time even. I noticed about five or six truths about how to face problems. Jehoshaphat and all of Israel, all of these Judeans, were facing a big, big problem. They didn't know what to do, but they knew who to go to. And that's how I need to act, and you need to act, and all of us, when we face problems. Number one, the first lesson, resolve in your heart to serve, to seek the Lord. That's what they did. Sometimes we pray after we've tried everything else. That's really the wrong approach, but many of us take it. We need to pray first. Go to the Lord in prayer before we try anything else. That's what Jehoshaphat did. He sought the face of God before he did anything else. He proclaimed a fast. In other words, that was a time of penance, a time of repentance, and seeking God. Number two, we need to acknowledge that God is in control despite our problems. That's what happened in this story. In their prayer, Jehoshaphat said, "Lord, we know that you're in control. You rule over the nations. Everything is in your power." And even in the crisis that we're facing, whatever it may be, I know we're thinking about the coronavirus, but there are so many other things in your life. Some of you have marital problems. You have business and financial problems. You have school problems. You have all kinds of things on the job and so forth. All kinds of issues, but we need to acknowledge that God is in control despite our problems. We need to focus on the Lord instead of focusing upon our problems. That's found there in verse 6 of chapter 20. Then number 3, we need to acknowledge that the problem is beyond our control. Those people said, "We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do." There in verse 12, they said that we do not know what to do, Lord. We're asking help from you. Well, everyone in our country is asking. The governors, our governor of Arkansas and all the states seeking answers to what shall they do. We feel powerless. And that's the way they felt in that day. Then number 4, we need to claim God's promises. That's verse 7 through 9 of chapter 20. Claim God's promises. One of the songs we love to sing is, "Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring." You see, we are to stand upon the promises, and God makes many promises to us. So Jehoshaphat reminded God of his provision, how he'd given the land to Abraham and all the descendants of Abraham. And Jehoshaphat said, Lord, you're not going to let this period, you're not going to let the enemy take it away from us. He was praying to the Lord who would keep his promises. And then number five, we need to receive the word of the Lord. Verses 15 through 17. They were dismayed. They were afraid. They were afraid because of the multitude. But the battle belonged to God. It was not up to them. It was of the Lord. I remember the song years ago that Andrea Couch had. And he sang, through it all, through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Many troubles, many sorrows, many problems, many issues. We need to receive the word of the Lord. Ask God to show you how to solve the problem. And then in the last place, number six, we then need to worship the Lord. That's what they did, verses 18 through 21, and then 22 through 23. They gave thanks to the Lord. They began to worship and praise His holy name. They were thankful to the Lord in all of that. So there was a combination of things. The answer came. A miracle took place. They were delivered. God was faithful and kept His promise to them. There was really, as I see it, a combination of three things. There was prayer in verses 3 through 13. There was prophecy, or preaching, proclaiming the word, verses 14 through 17. And there was then praise in verses 18 through 22. Let me go over those once again, because I'm dealing with something here that is not just in theory. We're dealing with something that is very personal, something that affects you, all of your family, and all of us. But let's remember, Jehoshaphat solved his problem in the right way. And so we can take him as an example and his method of solving the problem as an example for all of us. First, he resolved in his heart to seek the Lord. We must do that as well. Second, he acknowledged that God was in control despite all the problems that he was facing. Thirdly, he acknowledged that the problem was beyond his control. It was in his weakness that he found strength. Lord, I can't do it by myself. Help me, Lord. And then he claimed the promises of God. They received the word of the Lord, and then they began to worship God. I hope and pray that this has been helpful. It may be that my encouraging you to read 2 Chronicles 17, 18, 19, and 20 is really what this is all about. So take time, either now or later, to go and read and meditate upon those verses. God will speak to you, I just know, and help you to solve your problems. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We're thankful, Father, for the song that we heard. We pray that you would help us all, help our leaders of our country, our president and all of those, the governors of our states, all of our medical people, those who are working so hard throughout our country. Lord, we need to know your will, and we pray that you'll help us to know what your will is for us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, for his coming into this world, becoming our Savior, dying upon the cross for us, that we might be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.